And when with the Big Ten expanding, right, you do not want to get lost in the shuffle in this conference moving forward. Right. With again USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington joining. So this is a big year, and all eyes are on Drew Allen.
Yeah.
College football tees, college basketball tees, whatever you need, Mercury has you covered with the best merch out there. We're talking about high quality clothing, inexpensive, and the best part is I have a 15% discount for everybody who goes and gets some right now. Use the code below, hit the link in the description, and go get your merch now. Use the code to get 15% off. What are you waiting on? Go do it.
What's going on, folks? Back again. Brandon and I we've been a little slow. Getting back into it after the spring game weekend, just because of the amount of stuff that we had pumping out, but couldn't be more excited to have one of my brothers in my position room, Matt McGloin, jump on here, the Scranton Scrapper himself. Matt, what's going on, brother?
I'm glad that nickname stuck around.
But I
appreciate I appreciate the opportunity to be on, Christian and Brandon. It's actually been a little while since I've been on a podcast and, you know, talked a little football, talked the NFL, talked Penn State a little bit. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity. Thanks again, guys.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, I know we'll get into your career now a little bit down the road on this pod, but, you know, I want to ask you about getting to be the space. You know, you were on air broadcasting and things of that nature, talking ball. You know, do you miss that at all?
Do I miss like talking football, like in a broadcasting like side? I do actually. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I majored in broadcast journalism at Penn State. So, I mean, when you envision your life, right, you have it all planned out. I mean, I would have, you know, if you had asked me when I first started, I would have said, I'm going to play till I'm 40 and that's it. And then I'll walk right into the booth, man. And I'll do that. And I'll enjoy doing that. Listen, obviously, you know, things don't always turn out the way you hope. You know, but like, I was fortunate and blessed to receive a degree and to graduate from Penn State University. And I was able to use that for a short amount of time. I still plan on using that in the future. I don't ever think I'll fully get out of broadcasting or sideline reporting, radio work, whatever it may be. I mean, I think for me, it scratches that itch that I think we all have as athletes, that you miss. I mean, heck, I still miss throwing the football around. Like I just, there's something different about being out on the field. And like, even when I'm in Beaver Stadium, like it's weird. You guys may think it's weird. Those listening, you may think it's weird as well, but I put both my feet inside the end zone, and then I just take a step off. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's strange, but it's just a feeling. It makes me feel really, really good. I did a lot of radio, a lot of sideline reporting. I've been in the booth, Big Ten Network, Sirius XM, had the chance to work with Steve Jones and Jack Ham for a year, on the sideline, which was awesome. And, had the opportunity to do it again the following year, but I declined and, went a different way and did some other things. You're right, Brandon. I know we'll probably get into it a little bit, but I did have a bit of a career change, over the past year and a half or so, which I'm very proud of. I'm very happy. I still would like in some way, shape or form to be involved in the football media world, I guess. What that is, I guess time will tell.
It's interesting because this is always changing too. Like, you know, you have all the podcast stuff. And like you said, you have the traditional sideline things. And that's what I think so cool about it. What I think B and I are trying to embark on here is just giving us Letterman a space to bullshit, man, like back and forth, reminisce a little bit, give our takes on what's going on, our expectations, because I just, even thinking back to when we were there, like we didn't really hear what our guys were saying about us, like what the expectations were for them. And I think it's so powerful and so cool in today's media structure that you can do that now. You know, there's probably kids on the, you know, on the team that see these short form clips or whatever on socials, and, you know, they get to see what the past is expecting of the present, which I think is really cool.
What's going on, y'all? Christian Hackenberg with State Media in the Pocket. This segment is brought to you by Utz. Utz has a phenomenal line of potato chips and other snacks. We were fortunate enough to be able to enjoy them all weekend. They kept us fed and ready for all of these interviews that you all are about to enjoy. They've been a fantastic partner of ours, and we're looking forward to continuing to bring you guys exclusive content here at State Media.
It is, and I say it all the time, and I don't think... Like when you're in it, you're in it. So when you're there for 4 years or there for 5 years, you don't see the full picture. You don't obviously have the opportunity to take a step back and say, you know, wow, this is what I was a part of. This is where I came from. This is now what I will be a part of for the rest of my life. I say it all the time. You don't wear the brand for 4 years. You don't wear the brand for 5 years. You wear it for the rest of your life. And it's a special, special thing. Right, we're a part of a very, very elite fraternity, and that's just not student athletes, right, or football players or whatever it be. That's all Penn Staters.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a special, special group. And I'm 34 years old. The older that I get, I realize just how truly special that is. But you're right, Christian. Have something like this to, you know, have guys, because I can tell the same stories as the guys from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Right, because we all went through the same system. We all did the same things. We all played for the same coach, right? So that connection is there, and it'll always be there. And that's a special thing to have. And that's nothing against, right, the Bill O'Brien era or the James Franklin era, because that connection is still there with those guys. I think it's a little different with that older generation, right, because of Joe and how long he was there. But, I mean, when you say you're a Penn State letterman or you're a Penn State football player or whatever it may be, I mean, you immediately think of Lash. You think of Beaver, right? You know what 5:30 in the morning in January feels like during conditioning drills, right? You know what those lifts are like. You know what the film sessions are like. You know what riding the blue bus is up to Beaver Stadium feels like, right? So whether you know someone or not, I mean, you're connected to that person. And I think, too, right, it's just not what they did on the field. I think when you wear the blue and white, too, you know this person that you're talking to takes their role and their responsibility off the field just as serious as they do on the field as well. Because that's what, and Christian, you're saying expectations, right? For me, that's what's expected when you're a Penn State football player.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. And to kind of piggyback off that, I think we'll start here. What's your interpretation of where the program is right now? And you can get as granular as you want, like X's and O's, Coach Franklin and the position that we're in terms of, you know, the whole restructure with the college football playoff, the success we have had up until this point. I always like to get guys' opinions on that, and specifically from the Joe era and guys who played for Joe for an extended period of time, because I think I never got that opportunity, and I thought that, you know, I always think it's unique to see, because of everything you laid out, there's so many of us that played for a singular guy, and change really isn't widely accepted in this realm at times. But it's cool. Like I said, I think it's always cool to kind of open up with that.
I think change is, you're right. There's some people that don't want it, right? It's fine. I like change. It's good. I like change as long as the values, the history, the tradition, and what we represent stays. That's all I fight for. That's all I want. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. I don't care about this direction, whatever it may be, right? But the values and our history and our tradition and our legacy and what it means and what you represent as a Penn State football player, as a Penn State student athlete on the field and off the field, right? As long as that remains the same, I mean, wins and losses, it is what it is, right? You're going to have good years. You're going to have not so good years, right? But I think what has always separated Penn State and what has always made us so special is that we accepted the responsibility of being active in our community. We accepted the responsibility of going to Penn State, understanding we were students first. We were working towards our degree. We were there to become great teammates. We were there to become great men, there to become great leaders. We became pretty good football players too, and we're able to further our careers. Then that was a bonus, right? But I mean, I've talked about it a lot. You know, for me, where I played for Joe for 4 years, and I played for Bill O'Brien for my fifth year. I don't get to the NFL without either one of them, but I certainly don't get to the NFL without Bill O'Brien. Now I know people have their opinions on Bill O'Brien, and you know what, and it is what it is, whatever. But I mean, you play for him, Christian, right? I mean, I got a doctorate in 11 months of football. I did. But the 4 years with Paterno, really, I was able to, you know, strengthen the traits that I had to then walk in as a fifth year senior with Bill and be able to understand what he wanted from a maturity standpoint to lead a program during a really, really dark time and a dark period.
Yep.
But I learned more about life from Joe, and the things I learned from Joe, I use every day as a, you know, elected official, right? A father, you know, a husband, whatever. I use all those things I've learned. You know, as well. So, I mean, I consider myself a lucky individual to have been on a team where, you know, you had one of the greatest of all time coaching and then one of the better offensive minds, I think, you know, in the game today in Bill O'Brien. You know, and in terms of, to really answer your question, because I know I was dancing around it a little bit, about where, you know, the program is now and the state of the program is, I think this is a crucial year. Expectations are higher than they've ever been. Michigan isn't on your calendar this year, but USC is, UCLA is, right? You're going to play Ohio State. It doesn't get easier for Penn State. And with the Big Ten expanding, right, you do not want to get lost in the shuffle in this conference moving forward with, again, USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington joining. So this is a big year, and all eyes are on Drew Aller.
Yeah.
And this segment's brought to you by Family Clothesline. They kept us looking sharp all weekend. I'm currently wearing one of the Lulu polos. It's a Family Clothesline exclusive. Make sure you guys check out Family Clothesline for all of your Penn State apparel needs.
Yeah. Hey, that actually leads to what I was going to ask you, and you touched on it, you know, the pressure of this year, and talk about it with Hack all the time. And we had some great interviews and convos with the quarterbacks up there, Drew included. How did you handle pressure? I give you a lot of kudos, whether you realize now, I don't think we've really spoken, but as I started to get recruited by games and really like at my seat, you were at the helm handling that pressure through the dark times, as you said, but still gracefully, you know, scrappy as you are, being the leader of the Penn State football program. How would you give, or what would you give in the QBs, Drew, as you just said, has a lot on his shoulders?
I ignore the noise. Right? I mean, I don't like, you have to build this, like, as football players, you live in a fishbowl, right? So like, but you have to understand that, you have to accept that, but within that bowl, you have to build your own bubble. And like, I don't care what is said outside of this bubble. Like, I never did. I don't care what you're saying on Twitter. I don't care what you're saying on Facebook. I don't care about social media. I don't care what you're writing about me in the paper, because it doesn't matter. Like, I care about what my teammates say. I care about what my coaches say. I mean, I care about what my family says, right? I don't, like, I know what I'm doing, and I know what I'm doing is right. And as long as I can continue to do that and stay on that path, then I know I'm going to be fine, right? I mean, you guys went through it, right? Chris, you went through it from a quarterback, yeah, right, mindset as well. And that vision, like, I didn't care what you had to say, right? I always felt that way. Like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it better than anybody else because I'm going to be more consistent than you, right? I'm going to be here every day. I'm going to be well-prepared. You're not going to outwork me. I'm not going away. I'm going to continue to fight until, right, the phone stops ringing or until, like, somebody physically says, hey, bud, you're done. You're done. But that's the mentality that I think he's got to have here in year two, right? I mean, he's got to, like year one in a way, right, I thought at times – very too calm almost, if that makes sense. I mean, he now needs to be the one to win the football game.
Yeah,
that he's got to make the throws on third down, he's got to make the throws in the red zone, he has to be the one to win the football game. And Christian, the difference, right, he has to want to be the guy with the ball in his hand to win the football game. Because I can tell you another thing, and again, this is completely different than when I played, right? Because the fear of losing a season when you decide to transfer is not there anymore, right? I can just go. I think this Perbula kid is good too. He's a good football player. And if I was a Big Ten school, I'd be calling his parents every day saying, hey, your kid can play for us here.
Yeah.
So, like, there's – and the competition is great. And I love competition. I think it's a wonderful thing. But, like, he's got to be the guy this year to win football games and to make the big plays for Penn State. I mean, Christian, yeah. I mean, going back, we finished 2012. You came in 2013. I mean, and O'Brien threw you to the wolves.
Yeah.
So, this is a lot what I'm talking about here. Cause like, I was a fifth year guy. I had played football games. I played in a lot of games. I played in a lot of moments. I was a starter. I got benched. I was a second string guy, right? I was all over the place, right? I redshirted. So, like, my mindset as a fifth year guy was that for you, right? Compare what you went through mentally and what you saw looking back on yourself. Yeah. And then what Aller went through last year and now how he has to make the transition too, because you not only had to have a great sophomore year as anybody who starts as a freshman does, but you went through a coaching change too.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I thought you made like several really good points and I kind of want to pick back with you, but like for me, just baseline, I was dumb as shit when I walked in that door. Like I didn't know the expectations. Like, and I've said this before, like I just wanted to play football. That's all I cared about. Like people always talk about the rankings and the ratings and the stars. And that's what gelled so well with me and Bill. Like, my parents didn't care. I played at Fork Union Military Academy. My high school coach had coached fucking 100 of me, Eddie George. Like, so like I wasn't anything special. Like, and Fork Union's kind of its own little bubble, like you're saying, like a fishbowl. Like it really is. Like it's just so old school. So like all I cared about was playing football. So when I stepped into it, like I had no idea of the bigness of all that stuff. Like all that noise that you were talking about, I went to these things like – when I was asked to go to these things, I did what I did and I competed and had fun. And like, but I just never focused on it. Like it was never a thing until I got up there. So like to that point, you talked about Drew ignoring the noise. I think especially in today's world, there's so many more avenues probably than even when you were there of people to get to you. And it's almost impossible to ignore it. And I've always said, when I've talked to Drew, I said, I think you need to then replace it, right? And I, like, you know how Bill was. Like, I would get lost in the process with him. Like, I would replace the noise by just, I'd meet with him 3-4 nights a week. I'd just go up there after study hall. We'd study defenses. It would get me more prepared. So I would replace the noise with whatever my weekly regimen would be and getting to know what the guy who ultimately decided how I performed or – as you know, like taught you how you could potentially make yourself perform. That's how I replaced it. And I love that. It was just a great outlet because I had a little bit of that golden retriever syndrome in me where I really care about what other people think. probably more so than even you. So like, I'm trying to figure out Drew from that side of it and what really makes him tick. And I've had this conversation several times. Like, I think what you said, like, he needs to be the guy who makes those like timely plays because he has all the talent in the world. And that's, it's hard to like put your finger on exactly what that is. Some people say, oh, he needs to be more vocal or he needs to be more of a leader. And I don't even think it's that. Like, some guys are like that. Some guys aren't. Like, I wasn't a super vocal guy, but when I said something, you know, people listened because I think I backed it up with when I had to make a play, I made plays. And like, there's many different ways to do it. Some guys, you know, chew people's asses and they respond that way.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think Drew really knows what that is because he's such a good kid. And then to your point, yeah, he hasn't ever like stepped out there and done that. So it's really interesting. And then the transition, I think those things come organically. And to your point, like, I got thrown to the wolves. So I was put in situations where I had to go win football games at a really young age. And that's something that did carry, like, whether I was playing really good or like my sophomore year where it was just like this, a lot of times there were still 2 minutes. I was like, give me the ball. And we won a lot of games that way mm-hmm. while I was there. And that's where I want to kind of see, like, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I want to see Drew, whatever that is, whether it's being more vocal, whether it's being more present, or whether it's just being the guy, like, it's 3rd and 8, put it in my hands and like, it's not clean. And I have to go make a play and I make a play. And then all of a sudden, you know, your right tackle's protecting a little harder for the next quarter. And, you know, your running backs, you know, stressing a little bit harder to get an extra 2 or 3 yards on 1st and 2nd down. Like, those things, that's the beauty of football, is like, those things actually matter. And the average fan doesn't see that. But us as guys who've been in that locker room realize that. And that's pretty much all I got to say about that. Like, that's what I'm hyper focused on. And I thought you set the table really well with just the big picture, but it's almost, to me, it's really hard to put a finger on it other than like, timely plays need to be made this year.
Right.
You gotta be the guy. Like you said, when those moments come, the guys that are the guys, they show up, you know? And like you said, whatever it is, it's straining, diving for the first down, you know, stepping up, taking the hit, sitting in the pocket, whatever it may be. And to your guys' point about, you know, yeah, him, you know, letting out about him maybe a little bit more, your conversation you had with him, Hack, on that episode, I'm hoping people really tap into that one. I feel like he acknowledged that a little, you know, he wasn't him completely on the field.
Yeah.
Like, it's everything you guys just said, being yourself.
It's super interesting, but go ahead, Matt.
No, I was going to, in a lot of ways, like, right, perception is reality too. And like, I was always a guy, like, I was a self promoter. I was. And like, I didn't, yeah, I had to be. I had to be because who was promoting me? Nobody. Right? Nobody. Right? But so like, I had to find ways to promote myself. And if I made a good throw, or, you know, you were going to hear about it, or I threw a touchdown, you were going to hear about it. So I was going to be loud. I was going to be vocal. I was going to be, you know, running my mouth. Like, as we were playing and practice, whatever it was, like, I was going to do it because I had to find ways to stand out. So like, when I walk in a huddle and there's 10 guys, right, they're staring at you and you're in the middle of Beaver Stadium, or you're on the road in the shoe or whatever, and they're like, Maddie, what are we doing here? Right. I gotta find the dog, man. I gotta be foaming at the mouth. I gotta come in hot. I gotta be loud. I gotta be pointing the finger. You know, I gotta be saying, let's go. Like, I want the, right, Christian, I want the football, right? I was born for this moment. This is where I belong. And this is where every one of you belong as well. So that's what we're doing. And we're going to march on this football field right now. And I had somebody, like, it's funny, like, we're on this subject because a few months back, somebody actually brought up the story. We were losing Northwestern in 2012. I think we ended up scoring like 3 times in the 4th quarter to win it at home. Northwestern was undefeated at the time in the middle of the year.
Double check, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But like, somebody said, like, Matt, you came in the huddle and you said this, and it just kind of energized everybody. And I was laughing and I was like, I was nervous, man, but I couldn't walk in and say, hey guys, guess what? I know I'm playing quarterback today, but I'm a little bit nervous. Like, I couldn't do that. So you have to, like, whether you're calm or not, or whether you're nervous or not, or whether you even believe it or not, right? I have to find a way to get through to you to make you believe it. So I think, and it's an emotional thing. And so, like, it's this mental aspect of it too, right? And I mean, I was a fiery guy, whatever. I was emotional. I think it's an emotional game. I'm not saying he needs to do that or everybody needs to do it. But at times, seeing that juice,
yeah,
and that energy,
yeah,
right, that says something, yeah, too. So that's, like, for me, I want to see a little more of that grit. I want to see a little more of that grinding, that toughness, and just, like, I want to see that passion come out in him this year, because I think it could do wonders for him.
Yeah, and I think, to be fair, too, it wasn't just a Drew thing last year. I thought there wasn't a guy on that offense that did it. Like, I feel like the defense really carried the load, but there really wasn't. And attitude reflects leadership in a lot of ways. And obviously, we made the change with Mike Yurcich. And, you know, we know how that whole business works. Like, he'll land on his feet somewhere, but it just really wasn't. It wasn't meshing, I think, from the projection. And that's the one thing, at least Brandon and I have talked about. And we hit home when we got the chance to talk to Andy Koltunicki. Like, he is a guy who is a teacher first. Which, as you know, the higher you get up in the ranks in the football game, the teaching and fundamental and not trying to stuff square pegs into round holes and really trying to build things around what guys do well, that sometimes gets lost in translation, even at the highest level. And I think it's a breath of fresh air. I haven't talked to many guys. Last guy I talked to that we've had up there that was like that in a lot of ways was Joe Moorhead in terms of top down how he did it. Ricky did it a lot. I have a lot of respect for Ricky, but I think that was a different type of dynamic just with him coming up with Coach Franklin and stuff like that. But I think it's going to be really good, and I hope that it's not just Drew, but I hope it affects everybody, because there's a lot of guys on that side of the ball that can be those emotional guys, and maybe that puts Drew in a position where then he just has to focus on making plays, right? And that's mm-hmm. that's the ebb and flow, right? Like, I was never, like I said, it was hard. Like, I was never like a crazy emotional guy. I could get there. To your point though, Matt, like, there is also that kind of innate, like, as a quarterback, it's like this innate thing. Like, you know when you have to almost fake it till you make it to get guys going or whatever it is. Like, it's that it. And that's why I say, like, I think Drew needs to find that it this year. Otherwise, you know, there's going to be a lot of question marks heading into, you know, whatever happens after that. But
and I think similar to what Bush is about, not just Drew or what you said, Hack, but the receivers, both of you guys have receivers and tight ends that may bring something a little out of you. You know, guy comes to the huddle like, yeah, you know, whatever, give me the rock. And then you feed off each other, kind of in basketball, a little two-man weave type of deal. So to your point, the receivers, tight ends, which we keep talking about, they need to bring that same juice, and it could draw it out of the young QB as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so too. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's, you know, and, you know, there's times even where, you know, you're just like, you're looking for comfort too. Like, it's like, I gotta get a completion here, right? And I like it's whether it's a look or whatever. It's like, yo, I'm throwing you the football here, man. I need a completion. I need something, and that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay. Like that's fine to do. That's okay to do. But it's establishing those relationships, those connections, to where you get out there and you're trusting those guys, and it's like, I know Christian, you know, he's struggling here. We got to pick him up or whatever it may be. But you're right too. And I think that's going to be crucial as well, as can he continue to develop those type of connections and relationships with the tight ends room, with that wide receivers room, to where it's like, you're just playing, right? You're not thinking, you're not wondering what somebody's going to do. That'll be interesting to see too, how that plays out over the next few months or so.
Yeah. I know I'm itching, brother. It's like, you know, we're getting through that spring phase, and you know, now we're going through another dead period up until training camp. Those guys are going to be running the baseball hills and in the sand pits. So for that, we're thinking of them. But I do want to kind of bounce something back to you now. You know, you talked about Bill and your NFL career and how much of an impact he played in that. Elaborate on that for me, right? Like, yeah. I have a unique perspective, but elaborate on kind of that whole accumulation of everything that played into that.
Before we get to the next topic, we're going to take a minute to talk about Factor Meals. Now, I know that there's a ton of food delivery service options out there. I'm going to stand on the table here and say this. Factor Meals does it different. Pre-prepared, chef crafted, dietitian approved. We've gotten the chance to test them here at the Pocket. I just got mine this past week. Phenomenal meal, super easy. Throw them in the oven. Like I said, they're pre-prepared. Pop them out, throw them on a plate. I'm a new father, got a wife. I'm unfortunately the one that does the majority of the cooking in the house. So whenever I need a break, this is a great option for me. Meals, 2 minutes or less. They got snacks. They got smoothies. They got little juice drinks. It's super flexible. It fits into my schedule when need be. No mess. I also do the dishes. So therefore, minimal dishes when it comes to preparation with Factor Meals. Really, really, really highly recommend them for your day-to-day operation. So if you like what I'm talking about, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, please head over to factormeals.com/pocket50 and use code pocket50 to get 50% off. That's code pocket50 at factormeals.com/pocket50 to get 50% off. I know that's a lot of pocket 50s, but you guys get the gist. 50% off to cut into about 75% of your meal prep time. Phenomenal, and I highly recommend it.
So, right. There's times like when you play the game and, you know, at least in my experience, in my career, like you're going through the process and there's days where you're like, am I wrong? Am I taking crazy pills here? Like, is that what's going on right now? Because I think I'm seeing something different than what everyone else is seeing here. Right. And I fought that fight every day. You know, the days of like, you're walking over early in the morning and you've got conditioning sessions and you're like, what the hell? What am I doing, man? Go home. This isn't it, man. Just stop, go home. And yet you keep marching on, you keep going through it, you keep going through the process because like you can't, like I couldn't get over two things, right? I couldn't get over like the alternatives, right? If I stopped going, then would I regret it? And then if I kept going, what could I make of it? Right. So I, right. I mean, there's only one or two ways you could go. So I chose the latter, right? I'm going,
yeah.
You know, cause I couldn't get past right. The what if aspect of it. If I just hung it out, if I just stuck it out, if I went for another week, another month, right? If I kept grinding. So, I mean, I did that in the Paterno era, right? It wasn't easy, right? I mean, I was in constant competition with 4-star, 5-star guys and would start games, wouldn't start games, would come off the bench in the second quarter and play the rest of the game, but I didn't start the game, right? So it was stuff like that I was going through. And then like, you know, Billy O took the job and right after spring ball, I was named the starter. So like, I'll never forget that day, right? Because that was the first time, like I was told, like, you're the starter and you're the guy and here you go. Right. I was literally walking back to my apartment, like right there in right where Nittany apartment. So, you know, that long stretch that you can walk it. I'm literally by myself and I'm like, yes, yes. Like I'm yelling to myself, that's how jacked up I was. I knew how demanding of a guy he was. And like, I think he knew how bad, and I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just, this is how it was. Like, I think he knew how bad I wanted it. right? I just want it like, man, listen, I'm here, man, right? I'll do whatever I can to succeed and to win and be the guy and to play well. And I think he saw that. I think Fitz saw it in the weight room, you know, and I think we just gelled. I got yelled at every day. that's no secret. He ripped my ass every single day on the field. But he's demanding. He expects a lot of his quarterbacks. He expects you to be well prepared, right? I mean, Christian, he said it all the time. Like, he's like, I don't play. He's like, I don't play the game. You guys play the game. So if I give you a call, if I give you a play and you don't like it, just call something else or change it. I was the wrong guy to say that to, because I would change stuff all the time. And here's a quick funny story. I was Indiana 2012, and I was like 4 yards away from breaking Zach Mills's single game record. And at Beaver Stadium at the time, guys, they didn't put yardage or stats on the Jumbotron or the scoreboard. They did it in away games, but not at Beaver Stadium. So I didn't know I needed 4 yards. And I guess like the call came from upstairs, like late in the fourth, like, Bill, Mattingly needs a few yards to break the single game record. I guess Bill snapped out on the phone. He's like, I don't care how many yards he needs, blah, blah, blah. But had I known, what I'm getting at is, had I known, I would have called my own play immediately and broke the record. Yeah. And I would have taken the yelling at when I got to the sideline. But like, he treated you like an NFL quarterback. He treated you like a professional, right? It was, here's what's expected. Here's what you need to do, right? You're walking up, you're making all the calls. You're making the mic points. You're making the protection calls. What's the front? What's the coverage? What's everybody doing? Here's your alert. Here's your built-in for cover zero. Always have a plan, right? We don't want to run bad plays, right? Everything is a positive. Everything is a positive play. Everything is the absolute best play that we can run at that point in time for our team and for our offense. And that's really what he hammered at. That's really what he tried to get across. And I think after that year, right, I signed with the Raiders, and like almost instantly, I think they saw the mental aspect of it for me. Right. It was just, I knew everything they wanted of me. I knew everything they were asking me to do. Right. The process. Boom. Here's the call. Boom. Break the huddle. 52's a mic. Whatever. All this. It was easy for me. It was a smooth transition to be able to do it from the O'Brien year to then going and playing for Dennis Allen and Greg Olson was the offensive coordinator at the time in Oakland for that year. But like, you can be whoever, like, you can be the most gifted guy physically, but if you can't do it mentally, you have no chance.
Yep.
No chance. If you can't process the information, if you can't think fast, if you can't adjust rapidly on the fly, if you can't trust your gut, if you can't be confident, right? Call a play and go play. And if it's wrong, we'll find a way to make it right. If you can't do that to like some type of certain degree, you don't have a chance. And those are all things I learned from him.
Yeah.
You know, which is why, again, I was an undrafted guy, but that's why I made it. You know, so I was so lucky to have him for 1 year there. So what, Christian, take it from there.
Well, I always laugh because like you said, like, I don't think people, I've said it in the past, people are like, whatever. But like he literally went from you as a fifth year guy, and then he turned around to a fucking slapdick 18-year-old who just walked in off the baseball season in high school and did the same thing. Like did the same thing. And you'll appreciate this. He came up to me after the Syracuse game. We snuck that one out. He came up to me during QC. I was sitting there with Ty. Never forget this. He looks at me, he goes, Hack, about week 8, you're gonna go back and watch that film and look at how much of a dumbass you were. You were checking fucking sword into cover zero. You had no fucking clue what you were doing. And he's like, but we'll get you there. But he legitimately turned around, went, you know, you handled that great. And like you said, you were mature. You've been through so much more than I did. I come fresh onto campus and he's like, same thing. He's like, go ahead, dude. Like, whatever. You know, we're,
yeah.
You know, middle of good versus good. And he's like, back. Just call it. And I'm like, okay. You know, so I'm like, but there is a lot to be said about that. And it's extremely powerful. And I almost wish today's game still had a little bit of that element. There's so much more that people are trying to do. There's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, but I wish that they put more on that position because it really is incredible. And I think throughout the transitions in my career, like the way that Bill taught me my freshman year, it almost allowed me to get out of my head because I couldn't think about anything else. Like I had to worry about, okay, snap the huddle. What's the front? What's the coverage? Is this guy coming? Do I have to adjust this? Is this a better look? Like I'd do all that. So I couldn't even think about the last play or the next three plays. Like I was just so immensely locked in on what my job was and what the preparation was. And I once Bill left, I really had a hard time finding that again because it wasn't asked of me, right? You go from like 400 level, you know, John Urschel astrophysics to then like, hey, here's the play, go run it. You know, and you know the answers, but it's just weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We did, Brandon, like we would have, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you did this as well, Christian. Brandon, the night before games at the hotel, the call sheet, right? You've seen an offensive call sheet, Brandon, right? Both sides completely filled. We went over every play. Every play. Read the play, call it out. What's your alert? What's your adjustment? What's your answer? Right? If I give you this, oh, I'm going here, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Every single play, right? And it's a comfort thing. And right there's stuff like as you go through the week as well, right? And I've only seen this a few times. Like if you don't like a play, it's out. I'm not running it.
Yeah.
So don't call it. And there's very few coaches that are confident enough of themselves to take it out of their own game plan.
Yep.
Right? And I've seen it. I've also seen the other side of it too, where like I'm standing on the sidelines in an NFL game and it was DC, Derek Carr. DC didn't want this one play all week and it gets called. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I can't believe he called this. And in the headset, he goes, hey, I know you don't like it, but I'm calling it anyway.
Yeah. And it was probably, it was probably on like a 3rd and 8 in the third quarter. Yeah, in like a
one. I think he game. Had, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, I can't believe he called that. I can't believe he called that play knowing he didn't like it. But listen, everybody's different. Every coordinator is different. Everybody's different thing. But like, if I'm not comfortable with a play or something like that, I don't want it in. I don't want to see it. I don't want to run it. I'd rather just run something else that we can dress it up with a shift or a motion or an adjustment or whatever it may be. And let me just run the same play until we get better at that play, right? I mean, but Bill was great at that too, right? I think he learned a lot about you, Christian, and who you were. I think he's learned a lot about me and who I was. And it was kind of like, all right, this is what these guys do, and this is what these guys do well.
Yeah.
So I have to find a way to build my offense around what these guys can do and what they're capable of doing and what their strengths are. Right. You don't see that a lot either. Right. I think anymore we see, well, this is my offense and you're either part of it or not. And it's like, no, everybody is unique. Everybody is special and everybody is different. And it's your job as a head coach or a quarterback coach or coordinator is to find the best way to use this guy. And now I get this impression from Coach K. I think he is that type of coach, which I really, really do enjoy. And so I'm anxious to see what he's able to build for this team, because that's the way it should have been. And I know now with this guy that's the way it's going to be. So I'm really happy to see it, because that's how you do it. That's how offenses are built. And that's how you get the most out of the guys and the talent that you have.
Yeah. Hack and I talked about every season this past season. And it really showed his face, I think, against Jared. What the coordinator, they know what they have. And they guided him through that game and obviously put him in advantageous positions to do what he does best. And at times last season, we saw that with Drew in the offense, and then we lose it. And the offense goes out the window at the same time when we lose that flow of, you know, choosing the right plays, getting them in the rhythm and things of that nature. But just listening to you guys talk about the quarterback position, you talk about but nights before the games, most we had was the quiz, you draw your blitz averages, maybe a slight alteration to check from that, but that was about it. Quarterback position. Yeah, yeah. Quarterback position gets a lot of slack, but people, man, they don't know.
We chase ghosts.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Exactly.
We chase ghosts.
We just react. We react. 3x1, okay, here, we're doing this. They go 2x2. They switch 2x2. We'll with that. Two plays tops.
I think, too, a lot of it is, like, and this is going to, like for Drew Aller this year, it's like he needs the answers to the test right before the game, right? That's what he needs, right? Every single play, every single moment, right? I want to see, like, him truly get to understanding situational football and where he is on the field and what how much time is left and what the score is and, like, what the yardage is. Am I backed up? Am I midfield? Am I on the fringe? Where am I at in the red zone? Do I have 3 points in the bank? Right? How are we playing? What's going on? Am I playing completion-driven football? Am I just managing the game at this point? Or am I confident enough to just rip this thing wherever the hell I want right now? Right? So I want to see him just – and he should. And he should. This is a big jump, right? He should really become and focus on becoming that student of the game, right, this year here in year two. So, because you're right, you said earlier, Christian, everything is there. Talent there, arm strength there, like about as physically gifted as I think you're going to see in college football.
Yep.
So it's all upstairs now. It's all upstairs.
So let's get to what B was talking about. So give us the Matt McGloin life updates now. What you're doing. We obviously know you're running for the Board of Trustees. We had Carl on a few weeks ago, so we wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about what you're doing with that and how that kind of came about. But what's the Matt McGloin life updates?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, and I just, you know, I know, listen, we're talking football here. You know, yeah, I am running for the Board of Trustees, something I wanted to do for a very long time, so I'm very fortunate and blessed to have that opportunity and to be you know, running with Alvin DeLevy for that. It's been a great process thus far. So very excited about that. And again, very, very fortunate to have that opportunity. But I'm currently commissioner, in Lackawanna County here in Northeast PA. You know, I think I knew I would run for something one day, what it was. I wasn't sure. Didn't know I wanted to be home, right? We have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. We have two boys, so it's a hectic time in the McGloin household. We're busy, but it's a fun busy. You know, so for me, like, being home, making breakfast in the morning, taking our oldest to school, right? Being home, like that's what I wanted right now in life. And, being able to do that with being a commissioner, it's a very, very good place to be in, I think. And I'm certainly enjoying it. I love my home. I live 15 minutes from where I grew up. You know, I think for me, this area instilled in me at an early age, right? Chip on your shoulder, blue collar mentality, bring your lunch pail, go to work every single day type attitude. So that's home for me. You know, I love it. I love the people here in Lackawanna County. You know, so it's, and I think too, right? I mean, I think it all goes hand in hand what we were talking about here, on the show today, right? I mentioned in the year I had with O'Brien, I got a doctorate in football, but in the 4 years prior with Paterno, right? I learned so much about life and the next 40 years, of your life. I learned what, you know, I think we're all capable, of doing when we're active. Right in our community, what we take from playing the game, either at the college level or the NFL level, right? Being a part of a team, embracing roles, not just accepting them, being a part of something bigger than yourself. You know, so I try to use those types of things every day in my job now. You know, so, you know, it's exciting. I think, you know, Christian and Brandon, I know you guys felt this and went through it too. There's a time when the phone doesn't ring anymore and you're not playing anymore and you search for purpose, right? I'm sitting here in my office. I used to just walk around the house and I'd look out the window and I'd walk around the house and I'd look out. That happened. That's real, man. That's real. And it's like, I can't do something if I'm not passionate about it. I can't do something if there's no goal. I can't, like, if there's no energy for it, I can't do it. So that took time to find that. So that's that, man.
No, that's good stuff, man. A lot of people, I was born in Schuylkill County. I was born in Lee Heights, so I'm familiar with that northeastern PA area. It's awesome that you're back there serving the community. It's a great community. And like you said, couldn't be more blue collar and lunch pail to work. It's always fun getting back up there. But that's good stuff, Matt. B, you got anything else for my guy?
Man, as you said, that was good stuff. And so just touching back on what you just said, stops ringing, you walking around the house. Shoot, that was kind of cold for me that time. A little bit cheeky and weird, but it was weird. Definitely, you know, so kudos to you finding that passion to what you before and like gold. And I guess that you wanted to run. What was it, student, that you were noticing in the community, Penn State community, that made you want to say, hey, I want to kind of take the lead in this community one day?
Sorry, Brandon. I lost you for a second. You're saying what made me want to take the opportunity to run for the board?
Pretty much. Like, while you were a student, was it then that you noticed maybe just how to run or anything of that nature?
I think a lot of it goes back to my career and the path that I went on, right? I was a preferred walk-on. I wasn't a big recruit. I didn't have 40 offers. I didn't have 50 offers. Penn State is really the only big time school that gave me the opportunity to further my career academically and athletically. You know, so for me, this is now my way of serving and my way of giving back to that school that's given me everything that I have. I grew up in Scranton. There's a Penn State Scranton here. I've gotten very close to a lot of people associated with Penn State Scranton. I think our Commonwealth campuses are the glue that holds us together. This has been something I think I've wanted to do since I left Penn State, right? I think it's the way I started my career. I think it's the way that we went through those difficult times in 2011 and all came out stronger on the other side. I don't think there's another university in this country that would be able to hold it together better than Penn State had. And become stronger and better. And I think it's the way that, you know, again, my career finished up. I said it earlier, and, you know, I'm a few years older than you guys. But as you do grow older, you really do feel such a connection to the university. And you just gain that understanding for how special it really, really is. And, you know, how you rep that brand, for the rest of your life. And, I'm excited about it. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens moving forward. But it's been a fun process, met a lot of great people thus far. We'll find out soon enough. I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Yeah, brother, we gotta get you up again, and then we'll see you up on campus. We'll see you up on campus this year. We'll catch up on the sidelines. But appreciate you taking the time. Best of luck with everything, and stay in touch. We'll do it again.
Hey guys, also, I apologize, Brandon. I didn't hear what you said, I do have a foundation I started in 2016. So this year will be our 8th annual charity golf tournament in July. So I'll keep you guys posted as that date gets closer, but we'd love to have you up. It's a great day. We get a great turnout, great food. So It'd be middle of July. So take a look at your calendars, but I'll touch bases at the Gross Closer, guys. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, let me know, Matt. Not a problem, brother. All right, we appreciate it. I'm going to – here, I'll do an outro. Outro, one, two, three. That's it for the pocket. Had our guy Matt McGloin, as always, trying to bring you guys the best Penn State content. Make sure you follow us on all our socials, and we'll see you guys next week.